The dirt on mitzvahs. What's up with that? Parshas Balak is full of metaphor. This is one of the parshiot where we don't assume that mikra is kipshutei, that the verses are in to be understood in their literal iteration. Because Bilam, he speaks in parables, or he speaks in what they call oracles. It's not everyday speech. Well, this is metaphor. And in Bilam's first metaphor, he speaks about the Jewish people. Not the way he wanted to, because he's forced now to speak about them in a positive way. Hashem shows him the essence of who we are. Chapter 23, verse 9, Kimireish Tzurim Ereno, says Bilam, from their very beginning as a nation, Mireish Tzurim, he sees us as mountain peaks, which is a euphemism or reference to the merit of our patriarchs, of our avos. Umigvois Ashureno, and he beholds us sturdy or strong as hills, and this is in the merit of our matriarchs. Hein om levodad yishkin, they are a nation who dwells alone. They were not reckoned or counted amongst the other nations. When the nations will be punished, says Rashi, we will not be punished. But at the same time, vagoyim leyischashov, when the time will come for our reward, so we will not be reckoned or considered along with everybody else. In simple English, we defy statistics. We're not really part of the world saga. There's something different about us. Verse 10. Mi mana afar Yaakov. Who can count the dust or dirt of Jacob? So what does that mean? This doesn't sound so complimentary. And he says, who can count the dirt? He says, I got the dirt on the Jews. You hear the dirt on the Jews? It doesn't sound very nice. So we're going to try to understand this pasuk today. And that's the nature of this parsha, that every word is filled with all kinds of profound euphemism and multiple references and layers of meaning. We're going to start off in Rashi. Mi mana afar Yaakov. Who can count the dirt of Jacob, etc. Rashi says that you could best understand this kitargumo. He refers you here to the interpretation, the targum of Unkelus. Unkelus says, Mon yechul lemimnei, the adkaya de ves Yaakov chulu, which means who can count the dust, the dirt of Jacob, and that refers to the children of Jacob. Why are we calling the children of Jacob dirt? That does not sound complimentary. That sounds like what Bilam wanted to say. He looked at us as dirt. So the answer is, as Unkelus renders it, because the promise that was given to us is, so our father Jacob was, V'hoyo zaracho ka'afar ha'oretz, that your seed will be as numerous as afar ha'oretz, as the dirt or the soil. So since we'll be as numerous as the dirt or the soil, so that's the meaning of mimana afar Yaakov. That's the meaning of who can count them. Now this idea is, oh, Unkelus says, another possibility is, me'arba mashriyosa. Who can know the numbers of Arba D'Golim, of their four flags? Because the Jewish people had flags, and we were gathered under the banner of flags of our fathers, three tribes under a flag, as we learned a couple of weeks ago. And therefore, the message for us is that who can really count us? Well, what does that mean, who can really count us? First, we get counted. We got counted. We got counted. We got everybody give a half a shekel, we got counted, right? But that was age 20 to 60. But who really can count the children, because the children were not counted? What does this mean? On a literal level, it sounds like it means it's impossible to count them, which actually makes no sense, because we are atem hama'at mikol am, and we are the smallest, not the most populous of nations. So what it really means is that you never know what a Jew counts for. No matter how many times you think you count, every one of us counts for much more than one. And even the small child can make a world of difference. And so we look at, they say, count them. It's much more than counting. We're much more than the sum of our total. We're much more than our numbers. And the value Bilam perceives within each and every single yid is something which is far beyond his estimation. That's the first interpretation. Davar acher, another interpretation In other words, the first interpretation is about the Jewish people not being counted. So in as much as there is some counting that goes on, there's lots of counting that does not go on. And therefore, what Bilam's saying is they aren't counted because they really can't be counted, or they count for more. Some people get offended. They say, how come the men are counted? How come the women are not counted? Actually, it's the other way around. It's offensive that the men did get counted. All the men got to count for is just one. But the women could not be counted, just as the children could not be counted, just as the elders could not be counted. Only those who were going out into battle were counted. The rest of us were not counted. And the reason was because we are much more than the sum of our parts. Dover Acher, another interpretation. What is the meaning of Afar Yaakov? What's the meaning of the dust or dirt of Jacob? So this refers to not to us as individuals, but to the merits that we accrue. Ein cheshbon, Rashi says, there is no way to tally b'mitzvahs shehem ekayimim ba'ofer, the mitzvahs we fulfill with dirt, or like even with dirt. And Rashi lists a number of mitzvahs here. He says, for example, leisacharish b'shoir uvechamer, you shall not plow your field together with an ox and a donkey that are harnessed side by side in the same common yoke. So this, of course, is called kilayim, or forbidden mixtures, and the Torah prohibits us from plowing or from having wagons pulled with ox and donkey, or any really two kinds. So what does that mean? You can't count it, you can't accrue it. We're going to see. We'll see soon what that means. It's kind of strange. And then lesizra kilayim. You cannot plant different kinds of seed together. And then there is Eifer HaPorah. And then there is the dust of the red heifer, which is mixed, the liquid solution, which is mixed from special water that's drawn from a unique source with the dust or the ashes of the Parah Aduma. And then, last but not least, there's Afar Soita. There is the dust that's used to create the liquid solution to give to this suspected adulteress, and if she indeed did not do anything wrong, then life vastly improves for her, and if she did, well, then it's not good. And things like this. So that's the idea of the dirt. What does Rashi tell us then over here? That there are two things being alluded to in Bilaam's parable. Number one, we're talking about the notion that the children of Israel, in whom was fulfilled the promise, v'hoyu zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, that Hashem promises that our numbers will be as numerous, will be as populous, as grains of sand, as dirt of the soil, and therefore that's what Bilaam sees. He sees that we count for much more. We're not countable. Just when you think you have a couple of yidden, you don't realize that the numbers count for much more. And the second interpretation is, we refer here to mitzvahs, which are like soil, the dirt on mitzvahs, and the dirt on mitzvahs is that these mitzvahs cannot be counted, or their merits cannot be tallied and accrued, because they are far more than what meets the imagination. So I think both of these explanations need to be a little bit explained. Like, really, what does that mean, that we can't be counted because we're like dust? We aren't that many. There are many, many more nations that have much greater numbers. And what is the meaning of this? You have this incredible amount of mitzvahs that fill with dirt. So complimentary. Big deal. So we do mitzvahs with dirt. So what? Okay, so for this we have to turn now to the Biuri HaChumash. And we're going to study two different questions from our Rebbe, which will clarify and elucidate the situation for us a little bit. Now, the Rebbe in the interpretations we're going to study today speaks primarily about the second interpretation, the dirt on mitzvahs. Let us just say, when it comes to the notion of us being counted, that there's a medrash with regard to Yaakov Avinu's prophecy. And the Medrash says, "Sikusim asa Hakadosh Baruch Hu Misrael," that Hakadosh Baruch Hu made kind of like a measure or a sign or kind of like a telltale frame. It said like this. It says, "When we come, v'hoyez aracha kafara aretz, when we'll be like the dust of the ground, then ufaratzta, then we're going to experience extraordinary growth. Just when everybody thinks we're gone, all of a sudden we bounce back." So there's this idea that the Jewish people, despite the fact that they sometimes experience extraordinary bittul, a great sense of nullity, and a great sense of being trodden upon, nonetheless, the value of every single individual is beyond what we could imagine, And this what Bilam noticed this. Bilam understood that there's far more than the numbers of Am Yisrael. There's this like silly joke of a Russian general who's lecturing to a group of young cadets in an officer's program, and he says to them, it's not about numbers anymore. It doesn't matter about numbers. He says, look, Israel is a tiny country, and it was able to win all of its early wars because it's about technology and skill. It's about the wherewithal and ability. It's not about numbers. It's not about who has more soldiers. He says, look, in Israel at that time, when supposedly this conversation happened, it was just over 3 million Jews living in Israel. And they were surrounded by 50, 60 million Arabs. And look, they were victorious. So one young soldier anxiously said, but do we have 3 million Jews? In other words, there's something otherworldly about our numbers and about our value. And that's what Bilam saw. Okay, fine. So this is like in the realm of Bilam's referencing earlier prophecy, the prophecies of Yaakov, really, if you will, the prophecy goes back to the time of Avram. And Bilam is saying that there's more to Am Yisrael, there's more to the nation of Israel than we could possibly imagine, and we can't count them. They're actually not countable. They're accountable only a certain segment of the population for a certain reason, but really, the people of Israel can't be counted. Okay, fine, fine. But what is the second meaning? What is the meaning of the dirt on mitzvahs? What does it mean you can't know the amount of mitzvahs because they do mitzvahs with dirt? What does that mean? So the Mefarshim asked this question. Many of the Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Meshefer, the Devek Toiv, many asked this question. Eich niten loymer, how can you say, page Ayin Aleph, Simen Yud Beis, how can you say, Ein cheshben b'mitzvahs shehem mekaymen ba'ofer? There is no tally with the mitzvahs they do with dirt or with earth. V'harei af misparin shall kol mitzvahs ha-Torah oyla al taryag. All of the mitzvahs, all of them together, forget the dirt mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs, when you talk about every single possibility, there is a number, and the number is 613. So what does it mean? You identify several that are with dirt, and you say it's impossible to tally the number of mitzvahs. It's impossible to know how many mitzvahs there are. So obviously that can't be what it means. Can't be, we don't know how many mitzvahs there are. We know how many mitzvahs. It's one of the things we do know. There's a dispute amongst the Rishonim, which are the 613, but we definitely know there's 613. So the Rebbe says, Yeshleimar, it would seem that Rashi's intimation, what Rashi really is trying to say is, Ein cheshven b'mitzvahs, when he says there's no amount of, or no number of the mitzvahs, he's not talking about the amount of mitzvahs. Rashi just listed the amount of mitzvahs, just listed four mitzvahs. Elo, lekach, he refers here, shemitzvahs elu makifes v'nirchoves. These are mitzvahs which are broad. These are mitzvahs which are wide-ranging, all-encompassing. And Rashi mentions four mitzvahs. But these four mitzvahs, they bespeak this notion that the mitzvah is far more than the sum of its accrued numbers. So, for example, mitzvahs lesachresh b'sher v'chamer, a mitzvah, a limitation on how we plow, not yoking animals together, or a mitzvah of lesizer klayim, a mitzvah of not planting different kinds together. Hein mitzvahs yom yomiyus. This is a mitzvah, it's a daily mitzvah. How often does a farmer perform this mitzvah? The answer is always. When does the farmer perform this mitzvah? All the time, whenever he's planting. If he's planting and he's not mixing two animals together, if he's planting and he's not mixing two seeds together, he is invariably performing a mitzvah. It's miskayemes called emes sha'adam chedesh v'zereya sadeo. Hashem arranged it that whenever we're planting, we're automatically doing a mitzvah. In other words, a yid is knee-deep in muck and dirt. He's a farmer. He's working in a field. And he's not doing anything holy. He's not davening, he's not studying Torah. He's a farmer. He's dealing with soil and dirt. And he smells like it too. But every moment of that is a mitzvah. Why? Because every moment he's making the choice not to yoke the donkey and the cow together, or the bull together. He's making the choice not to plant things together. So each and every moment of his farming is automatically considered a mitzvah. In other words, this reality, the circumstances that are generated because of the mitzvahs we got, is that even when he's involved in his most mundane activities, he's constantly performing a mitzvah. So Bilaam saw this. Bilaam said, Hashem has given these people, these Jewish people, the possibility that they're always doing a mitzvah. There's never a time when they're not doing a mitzvah. That, to him, was astounding. He said, mitzvah's Efer Parah. Do you know that the ashes of the first Parah Aduma that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu, they lasted until the second Beis HaMikdash? That's over 1,000 years. And there's this mitzvah that Ha'efer Nosen L'Mishmeres, that some of that dust, some of that ash, has to be placed L'Mishmeres, as a safekeeping. And it's in a certain place, it's in a special place, and that's where it's placed. There was a special place in the Beis HaMikdash where there was a jug of these ashes that was kept. There's a special place on Har HaMishcha, which is the mountain just above the Mount of Olives, and it was just kept over there. There was always some dust or some ash kept over there. And it's Kedei L'Tar by Tamei Meis. It's in order to be able to purify a person that comes in contact with the dead. So every moment that it's there, automatically it's a mitzvah. You're not doing anything. The ashes are just somewhere. Just the fact that the ashes are somewhere automatically means there's a mitzvah. Bilaam said, how do I deal with this? How do I overcome a people who just by existing, even their dust is accruing a mitzvah? How do you count that mitzvah? It's like, it's just dust. It's just dirt. But just the dirt that's extant. It's not even being utilized. Nobody's doing anything. Just the fact that dirt is extant is a mitzvah. Or the mitzvah of Afar Saita, the mitzvah of the dust which is used from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash to get mixed into the liquid solution which God's name is erased in so that we could bring about shalom bayit, peace in the home. It's through that dust that we're able to have a situation where a woman who was previously suspected and a marriage that was on the rocks can now be saved and can now be, so to speak, rehabilitated. So, matzev hanimshach la'erich kol shneis chayeim. If that marriage is saved, if we're able to make shalom bayis, that's a mitzvah that continues all the days of this family's marriage. So, it was a marriage on the rocks, somebody saves the marriage. When you save that marriage, the marriage is saved not for today, not for tomorrow, but constantly. Every moment that they're married, a mitzvah is being performed. Every moment. In other words, Rashi says, Bilaam identified the fact that even with dirt, the existence of dirt already provides us with a merit, already gives us a mitzvah. This is like, I can't deal with this. A mitzvah that somebody chooses to do, on occasion, I can deal with his merits, I can point out his demerits, I can say, well, this mitzvah he did, but look at the averus that were done. When it comes to the Jewish people, the way Hashem arranged things, even the dirt, just the existence of dirt, already is a mitzvah. A farmer owns a field, it's filled with soil. Automatically, that's so many mitzvahs. Why? Because he's not planting a certain way. Well, he's not planting at all, so he's not doing anything wrong at least. So he's already not doing a sin. This is the literal way of understanding what Bilaam noticed. Now, it's not only with dirt. The truth is there are many mitzvahs like this. The mitzvahs that are almost what we would call by default. And that, incidentally, is the meaning of Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakeh Yis Yisrael. Hashem wanted to make us meritorious. L'fika chir b'lem teir mitzvahs. He divided what would be in the seven Noahide laws. One mitzvah could be for us 30 or 40 mitzvahs. So he made us meritorious. And we have mitzvahs now. Even the existence of dirt already is a mitzvah. Now, we're going to take a deeper look into this. Now let's understand what this means, bepnimi sanyanim, from a perspective of the inner esoteric track of Torah teaching and understanding. So the Rebbe says, it is well known that there are shtei gishos, there are two approaches, two possibilities to the performance of mitzvahs. One can perform a mitzvah, kiyum a mitzvah, mitoch havana. A person can perform a mitzvah in a way that hails from his or her understanding. Understanding the mitzvah, the mashmusa, ha'pnimishal mitzvah, the inner essence of the mitzvah resonates with some kind of meaning, and when you understand that meaning, hizdazo, sichlis, v'rikshis, imtechna, you can identify cerebrally, emotionally, you can identify with the mitzvah. I feel this mitzvah, I identify with this mitzvah, I'm excited about this mitzvah. It's something that talks to me. I find a profound self-expression when I'm doing this mitzvah. That's one way of doing mitzvahs. And there's another way of doing mitzvahs. Not in a manner of self-expression or self-identity, not that I can say, this mitzvah, it's just meaningful to me. And it's nice when mitzvahs are meaningful. But there's another element, and that is when mitzvahs are done out of subservience. So why are you doing it? Because God said so. Do you feel good about this mitzvah? Do you identify with this mitzvah? Do you understand or appreciate this mitzvah? Does this mitzvah talk to you? None of the above. So then why are you doing it? Precisely that's why. because it doesn't talk to me, because it doesn't excite me, because I don't identify with it. I'm doing it because God said to do the mitzvah. This is what's called in the language of the parlance of our sages, a mitzvah done mitoch kabbalas oil malchus shamayim. A mitzvah done accepting the yoke. It's related, but that. So this mitzvah that's done in a way of accepting the yoke, you never will find an ox who rejoices that he's getting yoked up to the plow. No ox naturally comes in the middle of the day and puts his neck in there and says, "Let me yoke me up." The ox bears the yoke. He bears that he doesn't, in a way, the ox doesn't have a choice, but he just does what he has to do. So when a yid listens to Hashem or performs the mitzvahs in that fashion, this is called tzius muchlet lahiras shakadosh baruch hu, absolute subservience and absolute devotion. I'm going to do whatever God wants. Gablan loy havana, even though I don't really understand this. There's no regesh pnimi. It doesn't resonate with me. I don't have a good feeling for it. I don't identify with the meaning of this mitzvah. It's not meaningful. So it's the right thing. And that's good enough for me. Now, one of the differences between shtei gishas, these two very different attitudes and approaches to mitzvahs, negei ala oitz musa ulemidas hashpa osa shala mitzvah. It has a direct impact on the power of the mitzvah, the profundity of the mitzvah, and the influence, the scope of influence of the mitzvah. Kiyum mitzvah, the fulfillment of a mitzvah, hamavuses kulo al havona vehizdaas ha'adam, which is based entirely on my understanding, on self-identifying or finding meaning in teichin mitzvah. When the mitzvah is meaningful to me and that's why I do it, then the limits of the mitzvah, the influence, the impact of the mitzvah, it's limited. It's limited. What's the limitation? What's the glass ceiling? Because I do the mitzvah in a manner that's meaningful to me, so the glass ceiling is meaning. As long as the mitzvah is meaningful to me, I'm ready to do it. What if it's not meaningful to me? Well, then that's my glass ceiling. I can't go past that because I can only go as far as what I identify with, what I feel good about, what I relate to, because the mitzvah is based on my feelings, on my understanding. However, a mitzvah, kiyum mitzvah, which is not based on the person, but it's based on subservience of the person, a person's willingness to experience self-abnegation, a person's willingness to forego what's of interest or of my desire, this is a mitzvah. When you listen to that mitzvah and you obey Hashem's mitzvah, it's bal oitzma bilti mugbelis. And you have now touched upon the infinite power of a mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't have a glass ceiling. On the contrary, the mitzvah has no ceiling, it has no limitation, because commitment in that fashion is limitless. Commitment in the fashion I understand how much they're limited to what I understand. So what if there's going to be an iteration of the mitzvah that I don't understand? And invariably there always is. A part of the mitzvah, well, I don't really relate to this part. I'm not so excited about it. In fact, maybe I don't even want to do it. But if the mitzvah is not limited or based on my limitation or understanding, the mitzvah is based on what Hashem wants. What limitation does it have? The answer is none. At what point do we say, you know what? Okay, enough, God. This is getting a little too far. Now you lost me. I haven't been in this picture to begin with. I never limited this mitzvah. The mitzvah was whatever you say, Hashem. You say that's what the mitzvah is. Okay, whatever you say. There's no end to where that mitzvah bottoms out or hits the glass ceiling. Kishem shakadosh baruch hu atzmeni mugbel. Is God limited? Is God finite? The answer is no, God's omnipotent and infinite. So if God's omnipotent and God's infinite and God has no limitation, then his mitzvahs have no limitation. And this is what we call the idea of mesiras nefesh, where a person's ready to go beyond the call of duty. A person's ready to sacrifice, if you will, or go beyond his comfort zone. My desires are irrelevant. It's not about me at all. The zehu, and this then, is the spiritual meaning of ein cheshben b'mitzvahs sheim mekayimim ba'ofer, that there's no limit to mitzvahs which are performed with a soil-like attitude or approach. Kishebnei Yisrael mekayimim es ha-mitzvah b'b'chinas ofer, when the Jewish people fulfill a mitzvah, but they do that mitzvah in a manner of self-abnegation, being trodden upon, like the dust of the earth, which is what we started talking about earlier. the measures HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, when we're like the dust of the earth, when we seem to have all hope lost, suddenly we bounce back like the phoenix. So loy al basis ha'avana ha'ishis, not based on my understanding, my appreciation, my apprehension, or good feeling about a mitzvah. El al basis his batlus mochletus b'fnei abayda. Rather, the foundation is absolute, total commitment, total devotion, total subservience, total self-abnegation, whatever Hashem wants. This is, what do we call that dimension? If a person reaches a dimension of total selflessness, what's the language that's used for selflessness? You say it every day. If you daven 3 times a day, say it 3 times a day. We say the words v'nafshi ka'ofer lakotia. At the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, the Amidah prayer, we say my soul should be like the dust. What are we referring to? I should be a piece of dirt. I feel like dirt. It means humility. It means self-abnegation. It means forgetting about oneself. It means reaching a level of absolute total subservience. Oh, when you reach the level of afar, when you are on a level of mitzvahs, you're filling the mitzvahs, mekayimim ba'afar, in a state of soil-like attitude. Ayaz kiyum mitzvah shalehem u'b'chinas ein cheshbon. When you do a mitzvah like that, then your mitzvah is indeed limitless. There's no glass ceiling. There's no end. It's a mitzvah that continues to have an impact. That's bal oitzma, bilti mugbelas. That mitzvah has an impact which is literally infinite. So that's what Bilam saw. Bilam saw on a literal level that a yid is mekayim a mitzvah. Even the existence of dirt in a yid's life is already a mitzvah. Even the soil out there, even the ashes somewhere, already that's a mitzvah. The dust on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, that's already a mitzvah. And then Bilam saw and understood a deeper idea, that when Yidden, when a Jew commits himself to Hashem in an absolute fashion, and it's not about the mitzvah is or isn't meaningful, the mitzvah does or doesn't talk to me, it's about what does Hashem want. When a Yid reaches this highest level of bittul, then at that point, a Yid is able to experience what we call the concept of Ein Cheshbein. Then you indeed morph into a reality which indeed has no limitation, which is above and beyond any kind of frame of existence. And when Bilam saw that, he said, I'm going to curse these people. It ain't happening. So Bilam didn't. So he was forced to bless us, as the expression goes, like Hashem said, it was like a donkey who got the bit thrust into his mouth, and from Bilam pours forth blessings. Not that Bilam made a decision to bless us, he was a tzaddik for it. He simply became the vehicle, the convention through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed blessings upon us. May those blessings indeed be fulfilled. Amen.
Amen.